Lecha, and Lech Lecha, even though the Avraham story really gets started at the end of Noach, and the Avraham story continues through part of most of Chayei Sarah, in a sense, and Avraham's shadow looms over our entire history, the bulk of the Avraham story is in Lech Lecha and Vayera. And at the very beginning of Lech Lecha, as you see in Source 1, Hashem promises Avraham a great nation. But he uses a very vague term, which is Vescha Legoy Gadol. I'll make you a great nation. That's a totally fine term. There's nothing wrong with it. But as we are all aware, later on, Hashem uses different similes to describe what that great nation is going to look like. And the two that are famous are
sand
of the sea and stars in heaven, right? And so we find here, for instance, in Source 4, that Hashem says to Avram, go outside and count the stars, see if you can count them, and that's how many kids you're going to have, as far as Kochavim, and that's the model of the stars. And if you take a look, turn to the second page, and turn to Source 6, at the end of the Akedah, Hashem says, V'kachol asher al sfat hayam, right, that you will have children as many as the sand by the sea. And he actually uses both models, kochavei ha-shamayim v'kachol asher al sfat hayam. Now, is there any difference between these two models, between these two similes? You could say that there's no difference. They're just different ways of saying that your children will be absolutely innumerable. Just like somebody cannot count the sand by the sea, somebody cannot count the stars, similarly, your children will be beyond counting. Right now, you got zero children, then you're going to have more, but the time will come where you have so many that you can't even count them. Okay, beautiful. Interestingly enough, as you can see in sources 8 through 14, which makes up actually a majority of the sources on the page, the simile of Chol Hayam, of the sand by the sea, is a simile that is used throughout Tanakh in all sorts of contexts to indicate something that's innumerable. For instance, it's used to describe Bnei Yisrael. Take a look at Source 12, a very famous passage at the beginning of Sefer Hosea, which is the Haftarah from Bamidbar, and you see why, because Bamidbar is about the census, about counting. As it starts at Vayam Mispar Bnei Yisrael Kechol Hayam, right? The Bnei Yisrael will be innumerable like the sand by the sea. Asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer. They won't be able to be measured or be able to be counted. But it's also, if you take a look at Source 11, and if you take a look at Source 10, you can see, and in Source and in source 8, that Kechol Hayam is used as a model for the enemy. And that the enemy is so many. Take a look, for instance, at Source 8. For Source 8, the context is the northern kings' alliance that comes together to fight against Bnei Yisrael. Vayitzu heim b'chol machaneim imam amrav, kachol asher al sfat hayam larov. There's so many, they're like the sand by the sea. You see it in Source 10, when Gidon is fighting against the Midianim. It says that the Midianim are in Ein Harod, and they're near Ein Harod, and they're all lying there, and their camels have no number. Kechol sha'al sfat hayam larov. This is actually not describing them, it's describing their camels, that they are innumerable like the sand by the sea. But it's even used for things which are not people. So, for instance, if you take a look at source 14, Vayitzbor Yosef bar kechol hayam harbe meod, that when Yosef gathers the grain, the grain is as innumerable as the sand by the sea. And not only that, but even when it comes to non-tangible things. If you take a look at Source 13, V'yitan olim chochma l'shlomo t'vunah harbe mi'od v'rochav lev kachol asher al sfat hayam. So even when it comes to Shlomo's wisdom and breadth of his heart, breadth of his understanding, it's considered like the sand by the sea. So the sand by the sea is a model that we're familiar with throughout Tanakh as a simile for just saying something that's a lot of. It can be good things, it can be bad things, it can be people, it can be animals, it can be ideas, it can be food, lots of things. So the sand by the sea is a common model. The stars is yet a different model. But we assume for a minute that those are the two models, and it becomes so, sorry for the pun, and it's deliberate, but it's so ingrained in our thinking about the two ways of describing it, that if you look at the very last source 15, which is a midrash riffing off of the comment that Haman's family makes to him. If you recall, Haman's family is the classic opportunist. When Haman comes to them and he's upset, they all advise him to build a gallows and have Mordechai, and go ask the king to have Mordechai impaled on the gallows. When Haman comes back the next day from his shameful or embarrassing and degrading parading of Mordechai through the streets, declaring this is what shall happen to a man, etc., etc., they say to him, oh, in misera, it's like we didn't know he was Jewish. Jewish, you'd have no chance. It's hilarious. It's part of the hilarity of the book. In misera yudim Mordechai asher chilotan polifanav, nafolti polifanav. You will certainly fall before him, right? You'll certainly fall before him. So the Gemara in the very famous Babylonian Esther Midrash asks the following question. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, shtei nefilot halalu lama. Why does it say twice you will fall? And the simple answer is that that's biblical idiom for saying you will surely fall. Like halochi elechu vacho, boyav overina, nafol tipol lefanav. But there's a drasha, Amrulo, umazu meshula la'afar umeshula la'kochavim. This nation is compared in its innumerability to the dirt and to the stars. Kshen yordin, yordin al'afar. When they are down to the level of dirt. Kshen olin, olin al'kochavim. But when they are up, they're up to the level of stars, which means this nation is never in the middle. So if right now you've got a hand up over Mordechai, you can grind him into the dirt. But if on the other hand Mordechai's on the rise, there's no middle ground. That's what the Midrash is. But the Midrash is, again, picking up on the model of the binary presentation of the innumerability of Abraham's seed, which is either like the stars or like the sea, or the sand by the sea. I'd like to suggest, though, that there's really three different models that are used here. And contextually, they speak to three different things. Let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, Hashem says to Avram, "Lech lecha mi'artzecha malatcha betavicha al'artz sharekah v'escha legoy gadol." Again, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Now, what's that great nation supposed to do? Vavarecha v'agadashmecha. I'll make you and your nation, we assume, famous. Which means there will be other people out there who are going to bless you and curse you. I will bless and respectfully curse them. Through you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. So that means you're going to be the father of a great nation. This great nation will be a source of blessing for everybody else. Okay, very nice. Now, what's Abraham's job at this point? See, our problem is, of course, we know the whole Avram story, and then we say, what's Avram's job? And we put together the complex bit. What's Avram's job at this point?
To go
and?
Settle
land. And it, not even, but it's to go in into the land and become a great nation and be a source of blessing to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Source of blessing to the rest of the world, okay? Now, when Avram gets to the land, we suddenly find a new word that's going to show up a lot. Vayirah Adonai El Avram, source 2, Vayomer, Lezaracha etein et ha'aretz hazot. Now, we didn't hear about being given the land in the first statement. We just said, go there and you'll become big. Now he's saying, I'm giving you this land. I'm giving this land to whom? To your seeds, to your kids. Right? Yes, but he didn't say, I'm giving you the land. He said, go there, I'll make you a great nation. And no point was the gift of the land mentioned. Here, he says, I'm giving the land to your kids, the Zaracha. So now, of course, to have a big nation, you have to have kids. So these are the kids. It all fits. It's not like there's something contradictory here. It's like a new stage in the understanding. Okay. The key passage...
They could be a great nation some other place, too, up to that point.
Well, yeah, but it says, V'escha legoy gadol, correct. Correct. It should be go to that place, and from that place you go somewhere else and become a great nation. Correct. It didn't have to tie it in with the land. In source 2, it suddenly becomes tied to the land, but again, not that great nation part, but just I'm giving your kids this land. Source 3 is really the focal point of the whole shiur. Source 3 is as follows. Avraham and Lot return from Egypt. We skipped a lot of stuff. Avraham and Lot return from Egypt, and Avraham and Lot are both very rich, and Avraham and Lot own a lot of stuff, and Avraham has shepherds, and Lot has shepherds, and the shepherds get in a fight, and Avraham says to Lot, why should we have a fight? We're family, right? And split up, you go north, I'll go south, etc. We are all familiar with that. And Lot doesn't go north, doesn't go south. Instead, he goes east. He sees that Sodom is a very lush place, and Sodom looks like Mitzrayim. Evidently, he really liked Mitzrayim, and so he goes to Sodom. And we hear that people of Sodom are sinful. And then we pick up in Pasuk Yodalad. Lot is now separated. V'Adonai Amar El Avram, Acharei Pared Lot Meimo. After Lot separates, Now, where is Avram standing right now? Evidently, between near Beit El, which is north of Yerushalayim, south of Shechem, in the mountains. Lift up your eyes and see, min amakom asher ata sham, tzafon avenegba v'kedma v'yam, in all four directions. Ki et kol ha'aretz asher ata roe l'chat nana. All the land that you see in all four directions, I'm giving to you. Okay, so now, that expands the earlier promise. The earlier promise is, l'zaracha tena taretz hazot, but we don't know where that is. It could be just Shechem. Now, look in all four directions, and I'm giving you that whole land. And then, ulazaracha ad olam, which means, by the way, a new piece of information. Not just I'm giving it to your kids, but I'm giving it to your kids forever.
Descendants, forever.
Meaning, I'm not going to take it away from them. It's not like they'll have it for a little while, somebody else have it. It's theirs forever. V'samtia zaracha kafar ha'aretz. And what's that? I'm going to make your kids... Like what?
Sand.
But like the dirt of the land. Is that the same as Chol Hayam? Now Chol Hayam, like I showed you, shows up, sorry for the pun, innumerable times in Tanakh. And it shows up in all sorts of contexts. It shows up in context of enemy armies, and it shows up in context of animals, and it shows up in context of grain, and it shows up in context of wisdom. It's all over the place. It's the common simile for saying something is so much you can't count it. Is Afar Haaretz the same? The answer is Afar Haaretz shows up twice in all of Tanakh as a simile, to be as innumerable as the dirt of the land. We're going to see both contexts. Is that the same? The Midrash seemed to say it was the same, because either you're dirt or you're stars, like up or down. But I think there's something else going on here. Look what he says. If a man could be able to count, meaning a man cannot count, the pieces of dirt in the land, gam zaracha yimaneh, your kids will also not be able to be, just like if a man could count that, he could count your kids, which means they won't be countable. And then he says, kum hitalech ba'aretz. What does that mean? Get up and walk the land. Or ka'u l'rochba, which means everything that you're looking at now, go walk all of it. Kilecha nana, because I'm giving it to you. By the way, Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion of Masachet Baba Batra that halicha is a kinyan karka, that you can take acquisition of land that you've legitimately bought, you could take possession of it by walking it, based on this pasuk. Right? Walk the land, it becomes yours. V'yahal Avram v'yavo v'yeshu b'nanom amrei asher b'chevron v'yivin shem yizbeach l'adonai. Now, we will assume that before Avram comes and settles in Hebron, he's actually taken a walk around the land. God told him to take a walk. He's pretty good at doing what God says. And then he settles in Hebron, but he's walked around the land. Now, what is this Afar Haaretz? Now, let's put it to the side for a minute, and let's go to the next source. In the next source, very famous, we have to look at it inside, we all know the story, Hashem says to Avram, I'm giving you a big reward. Avram says to God, what's the point of a big reward? I got no kids. Eliezer is my CFO. He's going to inherit everything, right? He's not a slave. He's Ben Meshach, he's the head of my household. He's going to hear everything. God says, God takes him outside and says, "Habet na shamayma usfora kochavim." Go outside, count the stars. Im tuchal lispor otam. Can you count them? And he says, "Ko yezarecha." That's how many kids you're going to have. Now, Avraham is now promised he's going to have kids like the stars in the sky. Beforehand, he was told he's going to have kids like Afar Haaretz. Okay, now turn the page. And let's see how it develops. At the end of this week's parasha, the famous story of Brit Milah, Hashem appears to Avram and says to him that I'm going to make you into a great nation, and then, new information, Vahita la'av hamon goyim. I'm changing your name to Avraham because you're going to become the father of many nations, which is a change from the earlier promise. What was the earlier promise? You'll be the father of a great nation, and that great nation will be a source of blessing to everybody else. Now what's the promise? You're going to be the father of many nations. However, I'm giving a brit between you and your kids. So what does that mean? Does that mean that that brit is something that's going to affect all of those different nations? Or does it mean that you are the father of a specific nation and they will all have the brit and they're going to impact on other nations, and in that way you'll be sort of the adopted father, as it were, of the rest, right? Which we say halachically, that's why a ger can say Eloheinu Elohei Avotenu, because Avram's his father, right? Okay, so we told to the very last scene of this, and then we're going to see one scene in Yaakov's life, and then we're just going to discuss it. After the Akedah,
All of the nations are from all of Avram's children, so they're all Avram's children.
How is that? I mean, Egypt's not. They're all from Noah's children, right?
No. God here is talking about more than he's talking about Ishmael as well.
Maybe, and maybe he's talking about Esav, we've got to think. There's a lot of nations in the world that are not descended from Avram.
Right.
So the question is, what's Avram's role vis-a-vis that? Right? What does it mean to be Lav Hamon Goyim? Does it mean you're going to have lots of nations which will emanate from you? What does it mean the nation that's going to emanate from you is going to impact on all those other nations?
You know, it's kind of ironic is that throughout our history, we have been identified as a minority, it's an often oppressed minority.
Right.
And we're talking about, we're so innumerable here compared to everybody else.
Good question. Good. Excellent. So let's say one more passage, then a passage about Yaakov, and bring it all together. Very good question. So now at the Akedah, at the end of the Akedah, and the Akedah is the denouement of Avram's career. Vayomer, binishbaati ne'um Adonai. God says, I'm taking an oath by my own name. Kiyana shasita tadavar zeh, you did this thing, v'lo chasachta binchat yechidecha. You did not withhold your only son. Kivarech avarechacha. What am I going to do? I'll bless you. V'harba abed zaracha, again your zera. Kechochve hashamayim. What's missing? Afar ha'aretz. I'm going to make you as numerous as the stars in heaven and in the sand by the sea. And then, all the other nations will be blessed through you. And those two things seem to go together. You being either innumerable as the sand by the sea or the stars in the heaven, and the rest of the world being blessed through you seem to go together, as opposed to Afar Ha'aretz. So let's look at the only other place in Tanakh where Afar Ha'aretz is used as a simile, and that is when Yaakov is running away from Esav. And Yaakov runs away and stops outside of Luz and makes a little bed with a rock and has a dream. And in the dream, Hashem appears to him, and what does Hashem say to him? V'nei Adonai nitzav alav v'yomar. Ani Adonai Elohei Avram Avicha v'Elohei Yitzchak. I am Hashem, the God of your ancestors, your father and grandfather. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha l'cha etnena u'lezarecha. The land that you're lying on, I'm giving to you and to your kids. V'yazacha ka'afar ha'aretz. Your kids will be like the dirt of the land. Not the sand by the sea, the dirt of the land. And you will go in all four directions. Does that sound familiar, all four directions? Where's the only other place we heard about all four directions? Back in Source 3, when he said, look in all four directions, and that land I'm giving to you and your kids will be Kafar Haaretz. Those are the two places where Afar Haaretz is used, and in those two places, and only those two places, the ancestor is told to look in all four directions, or you're going to go in all four directions. All four directions are mentioned. And then he says, and the second stage is, all the rest of the world is going to be blessed through you. All right. So what I'd like to suggest is, as resolving this and putting perhaps a new wrinkle into our understanding of the complexity of Abraham and Abraham's mission, or Abraham's legacy or destiny. What was Abraham supposed to do? Abraham was supposed to have kids. Abraham was supposed to leave and go to Canaan. What else was he supposed to do? He was supposed to be a blessing to the rest of the world. How would he be a blessing to the rest of the world? So we read later in Vayera that Avram is going to teach the whole world through teaching his kids about Derech Hashem, Tzedakah u'Mishpat. He's going to spread that word. Okay, be a blessing to the rest of the world. The rest of the world that's going to come in contact with Avram will be blessed as a result. If they bless Avram, they'll be blessed. If they curse Avram, they'll be cursed. But everybody's going to interact and have some sort of a response to him, and he will be a source of blessing for them, be teaching them. Good. And that model works in two ways. On the one hand, it is, you have to have enough people, a critical mass, to be able to have an impact. You know, one person can be inspiring. But when you have, Rav Kook said, all the nations have tzaddikim. All the nations have tzaddikim. There are tzaddikim in white Christian America. There's Mother Teresa in India. There's people all over the world who are tzaddikim. The chap is to have a nation that's tzaddikim. A nation that as a nation is righteous. That only Am Yisrael can do. And so you have to have a critical mass that can create that. And that's typically Kechol Hayam. And Kechol Hayam means, by the way, you are accessible everywhere and you move everywhere. On the other hand, your job is not to be trod underfoot. Your job is to enlighten the rest of the world. And as such, you are Kechochvei HaShamayim. You have to be like the stars, bringing light to everybody. And unlike the sand that shifts all the time and can get kicked and moved and waves come, the stars, from our perspective, stand still. They don't really, but from our perspective, they stand still and they give a constant light. But there's a whole other angle to it, which we miss. Because we think about Abraham as Abraham the universal. Abraham the father of all mankind. Abraham the teacher of all mankind. But there's another component, which is, Abraham, you are the father of a very specific nation whose job it is to settle, conquer, and inhabit, and identify with this plot of land. Look in all four directions. This land is yours, and your kids will be ka'afar Haaretz. What's Haaretz? Haaretz in Bereshit refers to Eretz Canaan. Eretz Haaretz throughout Tanakh refers to Eretz Canaan. There are other words for the world. Tevel. Kafar Haaretz means your kids are going to be like the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Your kids are going to be ingrained in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael will be a natural place for them. And the two places where Afar Haaretz shows up are the two places, one with Avraham, one with Yaakov, where the notion of all four sides, all four directions in Eretz Yisrael, and by the way, where did Yaakov have that vision? In Beit El. Where was Avram set, told, look in all four directions, and you'll see in Beit El. So in the exact same spot. And in all four directions, that's what, so that means that there's a new wrinkle here. That on the one hand, there's Avram the universalist, but there's Avram the particularist. There's Avram the father of a nation that's going to enlighten the rest of the world. But on the other hand, there's Avraham, whose own Zerah, whose own children, are going to be connected to this land like they are dirt of the land. They are part of the land. They have the Kiddush of the land because they are part of this land, the dirt of the land. Dirt here not being a low statement, but rather inherent, the land is inherent in them. And as a result of that, they'll be able to conquer. Now, how do the two tie in? It's actually very simple. The two tie in because Avraham, as the father of this one nation that's going to inhabit and create a mamlachet kohanim, a goy kadosh here in this land, that's going to be a model. That's the way they're going to teach the rest of the world. So relative to Eretz Yisrael, you are afar haaretz. Relative to the rest of the world, you are kochvei hashamayim. So in the context of Eretz Yisrael, you are the dirt, the salt of the earth, dirt of the land. But in the context of a universal picture, you are Kochvei HaShamayim. And so hopefully through this we get a broader picture and a more textured picture of what Avram's job is. And now notice, when it comes to Yaakov, there's no more Kochvei HaShamayim because Yaakov is the one who is... there's no more Kol Hayam. There is just connection to the land. Interesting thing takes place in Source 9. Yaakov switches things around. It's not the only time he does this. God promised him, Vayazar HaKafar HaAretz. In Source 9, when Esav seems to be about to destroy Yaakov, Yaakov prays to God and says, V'yata amarte tivi tivimach, you told me you were going to deal well with me, beneficently with me, v'samtiyad zaracha kechol hayam, asher lo yishafer mirov. You are going to make my seed like the sand by the sea that won't be able to be counted. Which means Yaakov had sort of minimized the image, the position. And this is something we find several times. That's a whole other study of Yaakov. What? Absolutely. Because Afar Haaretz is something intrinsically tied up with the land. In the meantime, why is Yaakov saying that? Because where's Yaakov coming from when he says it? He's coming from Chutz La'aretz. He multiplied, actually, in Turkey. That's where he became a big nation. So Afar Haaretz doesn't ring with him yet. And Yaakov is always going to be in that position because where is he going to die? He's going to die in Egypt. Right? So that original message of Afar Haaretz is one that belongs to Yaakov's last minutes in Eretz Yisrael as a single man and belongs to Avraham's first minutes as an owner of the land. But of course, it rings through, through all Jewish destiny history.